keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. I cannot express to you enough that religion and rituals do not change people's lives. It takes the power of God through the Holy Spirit working inside of us and our learning to receive the help of God's Spirit to experience the Christian life that God envisioned. Now, people make churches, and churches can be happy just to have you come, to have you be there in their sermons, to have you go to their Sunday school. They're happy with that. But that doesn't mean that's what God designed. Because the Apostle John said this, that God has given every single believer His Holy Spirit. In 1 John, that God has anointed every believer with His Holy Spirit. And so we must learn to abide in, remain in, stay in, stay connected, stay in sync with this anointing, with the Holy Spirit that God has given us. As we learn to abide and walk in the Spirit, we have a personal counselor. The word for the Holy Spirit in the original language is like your own private attorney. Someone to counsel you through everywhere you go in everything you're doing. That's why it's important. This is where I'm drawing this word anointing from, 1 John chapter 2. But the anointing which you receive from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as that same anointing teaches you. In other words, the anointing teaches you. Now, here I am trying to teach you. But I'm only trying to teach you till you learn to let the anointing teach you. When you learn to let the anointing teach you, you won't need me. The anointing will teach. God's Spirit in you will teach you all things. And that anointing is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, abide in Him. We must learn to abide in the Holy Spirit. So the question is, how do we abide? How do we abide in the Holy Spirit? Learn this phrase. Obeying is abiding. How you abide in the Holy Spirit is you keep in step with the Holy Spirit. You obey the Holy Spirit. Here's what Jesus said. We take this from John chapter 15. As the Father loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So you see why I say obeying is abiding? What does it take to abide in the love of Christ? You keep His commandments. You will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. We're on to slide 4 now. Second, back of the first page. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Now, it is by this we know that we have come to know Him. If we keep His commandments. Not if we know that He died on the cross. Not if we claim that there's a God in heaven. Not if we believe that the Bible is true. Not if we're Catholic, or not if we're Baptist, or not if we're Methodist. The only way we can know that we actually know the Lord Jesus is if we are keeping His commandments. Because if you're not keeping His commandments, you don't know Him. You know about Him. There's a difference in knowing Him and knowing about Him. I don't know the president. I know his name. I've never met him. Just because I know his name and I know he's the president doesn't mean I have any kind of relationship with him. And some of us know that Jesus died on the cross. We know that He came. We know He was born of the Virgin Mary. But that doesn't mean we know Him. If by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Whoever says I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar. That's what John says. That's not me. I'm quoting the Apostle John. John was one of the people who knew the Lord Jesus. And John said, anyone who claims to know him and does not keep his commandments is lying. That person does not actually know the Lord. That's just, that's plain and simple. The evidence that we really know him is that we keep his commandments. But whoever keeps his word, John goes on, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in him. See, if we're keeping his word, we're living in him. We're abiding in him. We're walking in his Holy Spirit. We're being led by the Spirit. We're staying in step with the Spirit. And you know, we always guard the things that we value. Because that's the idea of keep. The Greek word for keep is tereo. And it has the idea of guarding, preserving, watching it very carefully. And how many of you are in the habit of, you check where your purse is? Where did you set it? Or if you're a man, do you ever pat your back pocket to see if your wallet's there? Or you stick your hand in your pocket to make sure your key is there? Because you need it and it's valuable to you. You always check it. You check to make sure it's in a safe place. You know. And if that's the way you feel about the Word of God, you're always checking it. You're always checking it. You're checking on it. You're considering it. You're wondering about it. It's evidence that you value it. So keeping our Lord's words reflects how much we value our relationship with Him. Guarding the words of God demonstrates how much we truly value God Himself. Consider this in Proverbs chapter 2. This is a description of a person who really wants to know. If you want to come to know God in a deep and personal way, this is a description of what it's called for. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. But this is describing a person who wants it. He pursues it. He applies his heart to it. He's asking for more understanding because he's seen the value of it. That's why he's seeking it as silver and searching for it like hidden treasure, because it growing in understanding and coming to understand and know the Lord is that valuable to him. So let's learn something. There is a direct correlation between our love for God and our love for His Word. I want you to think about that. There is a direct correlation between our love for God and our love for His Word. We cannot enjoy God's presence while we ignore or disregard His words. Can we see that? We're not going to experience the fellowship with God while ignoring His words. That's not possible. Because deeper intimacy and fellowship with God, follow me, deeper intimacy and fellowship with God is found in the sweet meditations that arise out of a hunger and desire for more understanding. Okay, a deeper intimacy, you have this on your notes. Deeper intimacy and fellowship with God is found in the sweet meditation. Do you know what meditation is? I've shown you a picture of it before, some of you weren't here. Cows have four stomachs. The first stomach they fill, it goes from that first stomach back around to the cud where they chew it again. Once they chew it again, that's where they draw the nutrients out of what they filled their belly with the first time. And it is in meditation when you're reflecting upon what you've heard, you're thinking about it, you're asking more, your heart's yearning for more understanding, that's when you experience this fellowship with God. That's when you're going to begin to hear His voice, when you're seeking a greater understanding of who He is through His Word. So lack of desire to know and understand what God has spoken before. I want you to catch this. Lack of desire to know and understand what God has already spoken or what He spoke before is going to greatly hinder us from hearing what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us now. I want you to think about it for a minute. If you hardly care about or even know anything about what God has already said, you're really going to be hindered from hearing His voice at all right now. And I ask, why? Why is that? Why would that be? I want you to think about it. Why would that be a hindrance? Why can't you just hear God speak now if you, even though you show no interest in what He has said before? All right? Because all Scripture, and remember, Scripture means that which has been written. The record of what God has done and said is God-breathed. God has breathed His inspiration into the Scripture. And as we learn to hear the Spirit's voice, one of the first places we really learn to hear the Holy Spirit is as He opens to us the Scriptures. He gives us insight and understanding into the things that God has said. And that's where a lot of us begin to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide us, you, into all truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. God's word is truth. What God has spoken is true. And oftentimes what the Holy Spirit is seeking to guide us into is to grasp in a deeper way what God has already said. Yeah, Vivian? That or the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, where when Jesus was walking and He opened to them the Scriptures and helped them make connections. One of the things the Holy Spirit will do is He will provide you a living commentary. He'll speak to you. You know, what is a commentary? A commentary that is a book that some man has written, right? That is giving his comments on the Holy Spirit, on what God has said. Wouldn't you like to get your commentary straight from God Himself? The Holy Spirit speaking to you as you meditate, as you ask Him to... remember the prayer of David, open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in thy law. And so one of the places we begin to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit is as we're seeking understanding about what God has spoken, because we know it's inspired, it's full of wisdom and understanding, and we're seeking to get everything God wants us to have from it, and the Holy Spirit will then guide us into the depths of those truths, and we'll learn in that process to hear His voice. So the Holy Spirit will guide our thoughts to show us even how certain truths are related. I know some of you already experienced this. You're reading a certain passage, and the Holy Spirit helps you see, oh, that goes right with this other passage. That reminds me of what John said, and what John said reminds me of what James says. And then you suddenly start to see things come together. You know what the Greek word for things coming together is? It's understanding. It's sunesis. Suneami was the place where two streams came together into one. And when the Holy Spirit guides our mind and brings it into oneness with God's mind, we are receiving understanding. We're being given understanding. Yeah, Vivian. Synoptic means seeing eye, same eye. It's similar. It is with the same eye. So the same prefix is involved. There you will. I can tell the difference when I am reading the scriptures with my own mind. How many of you will admit, like I will, I'll admit, that at times I'm trying to read the Bible and it's just dry, yeah. Dull. It is nothing. And there are times when it's just, it's alive. It's speaking to me. I'm stirred by, it's open to me. That's the difference. Sometimes we're not in the Spirit when we're seeking to worship, when we're seeking communion. We're just trying.
It's happened to me. Sometimes I've already read one pastor and I read it again and it gives a different meaning.
And sometimes if a thought comes to you, because people have asked, well, what does hearing the Spirit sound like? Well, the Spirit communicates in thought. He will guide your thoughts. He will bring the thoughts of God to you. He's communicating. You don't have to hear an audible voice. It doesn't need. He is, as long as you're hearing the thought, the Spirit is speaking to you and guiding you, giving you greater understanding. And when we have this a longing to fully understand, okay, I want you to notice the longing and linger longer, all right? And you, when you long to understand, you kind of hang around, don't you? You don't just rush past it. You're not just trying to get your 10-minute devotional Bible reading in. You read something and there's some, you just know there's something more. So you kind of spend some time thinking about it. You linger. When you're enjoying a really good song, you're kind of sad that it's over so quick. You're humming it still in your mind, or it stays with you. That is one of the real wonderful ways when the Holy Spirit is opening the scriptures to you. It creates in you a hunger to know more, a hunger to receive more. And as you linger longer, as you kind of still yourself and you kind of wait, even though you may not be saying it directly, the Spirit's reading your heart. He knows what you're wanting. He knows your desire, and He's going to be feeding you. You're asking, and He's going to be giving. You're seeking, and you're going to be led. He's going to lead you to find. You're knocking in a way, and He's going to open that door to you and give you greater insights into the Scripture. That's why Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Question. What are they going to be filled with? Oh, they're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They're going to be filled with the mind of God. They're going to be filled with the grace of God. They're going to be filled with the life of God, because it is God's life that produces His righteousness. And God Himself will reveal Himself. And the clearer we see and understand who God is, the more we are filled with His Spirit. And Jesus actually said this through Luke. Luke recorded it this way. When He says, "Ask and it shall be given, seeking you shall find, knocking the door shall be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, everyone who knocks the door shall be opened. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Now, I'm not talking about asking for the Holy Spirit so you can have some kind of ecstatic experience. If you have a wonderful ecstatic experience when the Holy Spirit comes on you, that's fine. I just want Jesus. I want to know the Lord Jesus. I want to be filled with wisdom and understanding. I want to be filled with His ability to do what's right. I want to be filled with gentleness. I want to be filled with meekness. I want to be filled with a pure heart. I want to be filled with His life. So the less of me I can experience, the better it's going to be for someone else. Because I have found I taint things. I corrupt things. My life is not the pure life. His life is. That's why John the Baptist was wise when he said, He must increase and I must decrease. And that's the basic goal. When the more we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the less of our corrupt self will affect others. And the more of God's own gracious, powerful work in us will produce things that affect their life. God is at work in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Yeah, Rudy?
I think that in order to get the wisdom and the commentary of God, like you mentioned earlier, a scripture reading has to be done systematically and constantly.
Well,
not once a week, not, every day. If we have time for the things that we like and we enjoy, we should have time to dwell in the scripture.
Well, let's put it the way I agree. I'm not going to say how much time, but let's talk about the principle. Jesus said, whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken from him. And when he's talking about understanding, think about it. Whoever has understanding is going to be given more. And that person will have even more, an abundance. But whoever doesn't have understanding, he thinks he does. Even what he thinks he has is taken from him. And the person who thinks he already knows, he's not asking God. I already know the Bible, I don't need to read it. You know, I already know these things. I've already got this. That's probably the reason you're not asking and you're not seeking, because you haven't seen how much more there is. Here's what this Psalms 1 says. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So regardless of how much time, Rudy, I'll say this. If you haven't even come to the place where it's your delight, you're not on first base. You're still in the batter's box. You're not really in the game yet, because the evidence that you have begun to experience the grace of God is you delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. But He does so out of delight. We always give ourselves to the things we enjoy.
There you go.
How many people have to tell you to turn your radio on?
Television.
How many people have to tell you need to sit in front of your television and have your quiet time? You know when your favorite show is on, right? You know what station you like to listen to. You know those things. When you delight in them, you pursue them, you seek them, and you find them. When we come to that place in God's Word, where we delight in it, we will meditate on it regularly.
If we have love for the knowledge and the wisdom of God, we will spend time. Look, beginning with my own sister, and I'm always on her case. Every blessed day, she watches 2 soap operas, Mexican novelas. Every day, that's 2 hours, brother. And then I ask her, okay, what was the sermon last Sunday?
I know. A person like that's not going to be able to say they lack time, are they? No.
Wherever your treasure is,
there will your heart be
there
also.
There you go. That's my point.
And we're getting there. Because as we see these things, that's what we're heading for in this study, by the way. All right? So let's get there. We know that if we ask, it's going to be given, right? That's what Jesus said. Seek, we're going to find. Knock, and the door is going to be open. And he does it. Everyone. Isn't that good? Everyone in this room, this is true for everyone here. There's God is no respecter of persons. It's not like if I ask, it's going to be different for me than you. Ask and it shall be given you. Okay? So, the question is, what kind of person asks persistently? How about the most interested or most desperate? Is that why Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven? The Greek word for poor here is a beggar. And what are they constantly doing? Help me, please. Help me. Help me. If that's your heart attitude, Lord, show me. Help me know what's right. Help me make the right decision. Help me. Help me speak what's right. Give me your wisdom. Give me understanding. Help me recognize the trap here. Stay close with me. That person is continually asking because he does not trust in himself. Right, Sean?
Now somebody was raising their hand. I was just telling somebody raise their hand over there.
No.
I love God. You shouldn't have to ask some of that. You ask once, chapters, you will buy.
Yeah.
You will just praise the Lord.
Yeah. Sure. Well, just our daily. Give us this day our daily that daily portion. Yes, sir. Yep. Yep. Amen. Someone, there's a hand over here, Debbie.
The Proverbs says, "For theirs is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, the spirit." Does that mean that person that is needy of God,
yeah,
that is there is the kingdom of heaven, that God is saying, I'm God and I will come to you because you're asking?
Yeah, the poor in spirit would be a person who's not self-sufficient. He's very dependent upon God, very looks to God, doesn't feel like he can do it on his own. That's the idea of poor in spirit. Yeah, Vivian?
Jesus knocking on the door, I think it was the first time I was the first time I picture it, mm-hmm. That picture.
Time
when all somebody was coming on
there.
So you ever
noticed
that there's no latch outside,
yeah,
the door?
Yeah, okay.
And Jesus knocking on the door,
I
mean, you'd have to be open from the inside.
Right, we have to be the ones that open it, right?
Have to
yeah. And the good news about that picture is that the Lord wants in. He wants the fellowship. You know, he and that's what's good because we're not the one begging. He's the one that really longs to reveal himself to us. If our own spirit is sensitive to that. And let's go on so we can see. So what kind of person sell the mask? All right? The proud, independent, self-reliant person. You know, we joke about it, but like the man who's got this, he's not going to stop and ask for driving. He knows he's going to find it eventually, you know. Whereas his wife is wanting him to stop at the very first place. Would you just stop someone there and ask? And the guy just, you know, if we are quicker to just, Lord, help me. Just as a natural response, because we enjoy his presence and we enjoy the moment by moment communication. Sometimes the reason we don't have is because we're not asking him. And the reason we're not asking him is we're just trying to do it on our own. We're just working, we're leaning on our own understanding. And we're not looking to him. When we're broken and contrite in heart, we're very dependent upon the Lord. You know, for everything, you know, the phone's about to ring. Hey, God, give me wisdom to know. You're about to speak to someone. Are you asking him, Lord, fill me with your wisdom, be with me, guide me, you know. You know, hopefully, I want y'all to learn this. You're coming to church. Lord, let me be sensitive. Let me be aware so that I can recognize a need or see an opportunity. Lead me to just in any opportunity you might give me. That's just a person constantly learning to look, listening for, looking to be guided. And that's the heart attitude the Lord wants. Because like we don't have to beg him, as Sean was saying, because he longs to speak to us. But a major reason that many never really discover the joy of receiving is they haven't really experienced the brokenness of being poor in spirit. They just do things on their own. And they don't realize how much God is willing to really communicate and share with them. So when we are really full of ourselves, we leave very little room for the Holy Spirit to fill. Maybe before we say, we pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, we should say, Lord, help me empty myself. Help me humble my... Isn't that what the scripture said? If my people, which are called by my name, will do what? Humble themselves. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Water will naturally find the very lowest place. It will run down. If there is a downhill, it's going to find the bottom. You want to stay wet? You want to get wet in the Holy Spirit? Get low. Get low. And water will run downhill. Let the Lord come upon you. Humble yourself. And as we empty ourselves, we create more space for the Holy Spirit to fill. I wish I could have got a picture of this. But if you'll picture a big 5-gallon glass bucket, if it has sand and pebbles and rocks and boulders, you can take the boulders out and it makes room for more water. If you take the rocks out, it still makes room for more water. If you take the pebbles out, it makes room for more water. So the more you take, whatever's taking up that space is preventing more water from filling. And if we're clinging to certain areas and not emptying ourselves and not allowing the Holy Spirit to come, because I really believe being filled with the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time experience. It means you are letting the Holy Spirit guide and saturate you in many ways. You know, Jesus said that he that believeth in me, as the scriptures has said, rivers of living water will flow out of his innermost being. How many of you have ever seen an artesian well? Yes. That just on the ground, out of the ground, it bubbles up on its own. You know why it does that? Because there is water coming in. There's a source flowing in. And it reaches a capacity where there's no where else to go, and it bursts out. And when we begin to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the more we're filled, the more we're filled. Guess what happened? Rivers of living water will begin to flow out of us.
Amen.
That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So that the grace of God, the truth of God, the wisdom of God, the peace of God, the righteousness of God is flowing out of us as we're being filled with the Spirit of God. And so that's why we don't lean up on our own understanding. We acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, and He will direct our paths. So the question is, how does He direct us? How does He lead us? How does He direct us? Okay. Let's answer this question, and it will give us a key to the insight. Why did Jesus say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear"? Why would he say he who has ears to hear? Doesn't everybody have ears? Everyone has two ears. Would he have to ask the question if everyone had ears to hear? Okay. Not everyone even has ears to hear. And you know what that means, sadly? Jesus is not speaking to them. You think he knows if you're not listening? Absolutely, he knows. Is he going to speak? So, like, he's speaking to a crowd, and he says to the crowd, "He who has ears to hear." In other words, those of you out there who are genuinely listening, those of you out there who are hearing me, who are tuned in, who are focused, who are in zone, who are in sync, hear.
Yes.
Sadly, many have little interest or no interest to hear what Jesus is speaking. And he knows. He just knows. There, yes, Brother Sean.
That's why he didn't pray.
Yes.
He didn't pray because he knows about it.
Oh. You have to wait. That's where we're headed in this study.
Okay.
That's where we're going to get to. All right. That's where we're going to get to. You're right. You're just thinking ahead of me, and which is good. No, which is that's good. You know, like you said, that's why we say it. He knows when we are spiritually hard of hearing. And listen, it's a common problem. You know, but here's what we need to learn: the connection. Okay, being hard of hearing means we are hard of heart, right? Our heart has grown insensitive. We've lost a sensitivity to God's dealing with us. And that's what Paul warned about the Gentiles. Having lost all sensitivity, they give themselves over to indulgence with a continual lust for more. They lose a sensitivity and they just go headlong into pursuing their own lust. It can happen. We have to be careful that we don't develop a hard heart. Remember that verse in Hebrews today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as they did, you know, in the wilderness. Sure. Yes, we'll talk about that sometime. That's a good question. No, that's a good question. We'll talk about it. All right. Back to where Sean was saying earlier. Okay, let's say that we might be thinking maybe tonight, maybe I've got some hardness. Maybe I'm not as sensitive to God as I should be. Maybe my heart has some hardness. Here's the question. Is this condition terminal? Is there a remedy for hardness of heart?
Yes.
So what does the scripture reveal that God can do when a heart has become hard? What? Yeah. God knows how to do circumcision. Oh. You know, can God take the hardness part of the heart and just cut it away? He absolutely can. Look at what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Remember, like that other verse that someone was saying, and the Lord will take from you the heart of stone and put in you a heart of flesh where you can feel. And you can the sensitivity is restored. And Sean is right. That's his grace, because that's his desire. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want us. He could just let us go on in our hardness. And boy, we'd be in trouble if he did. But thank goodness he longs to reach out to us. He longs to rescue us. And as Sean pointed out, before some of us can hear, God may have to circumcise away the hardness of our hearts to enable us to hear again. Yeah, Vivian?
There are stories in the Bible about people having a hard heart, and he punishes them. Pharaoh and Moses are trying to do
it. Yep. You know, there is something we can do to harden our heart, and that's resistance. When you resist the Lord, it produces a hardness. But if you've come to realize that, if God, through just the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through a study or through hearing, and you begin to realize, oh, I'm not as sensitive, you can ask the Lord, circumcise my heart, Lord. Work on my heart. Soften my heart. You know, God has made his creation beautiful. And there is this amazing thing called water. We need it to drink. We use it to make all kinds of things. And one of the things that water is really good for is when something is really hard and crusted and baked on something, you can just set it there and fill it with water. And what will it do? It just softens it. It just softens it. You know, do you realize that even if you're not in a very good place spiritually, ask the Lord to soak you with His grace. Fill you with His grace and mercy. Fill you with this Holy Spirit. Let the goodness of God come down and just soften you, because that's what He wants to do. Yeah, brother.
Life. Why is the most powerful thing we have? It can tear a house down, it can tear a tree up, anything like that. You can't stop it. It's the most powerful thing.
It's so. What if we have people, as Eli was leading us in the prayer time earlier, either for ourselves or for people we're concerned with, and we recognize they're not showing any interest in God. They're not seeking Him. They're not listening to Him. They're not walking with Him. We realize in their current state, without God intervening, there's not going to be any change. What can we do? Can we intercede and ask the Lord to soften their heart? Can we ask the Lord to circumcise their heart? Can we ask Him to grant them repentance? Kind of interceding for them, pleading for them. You know, not defending them. Oh, Lord, they're really good people. You know, it's really, oh, they really mean well. No, no. Lord, it's wrong for them to not seek You. It's wrong for them to turn their back. You deserve, but Lord, unless Your mercy touches them, You're their hope. And You're interceding. You're taking God's heart. You're reminding God, Lord, You don't delight in men destruct. You delight in showing mercy. Would You grant them repentance? Soften and work with their heart. Send Your Holy Spirit to bring conviction. This is a role we can have in asking God to do this work.
Brother.
Yes.
But there is definitely a consequence of not seeking the Lord.
There is.
Because the Bible says that this king offered a feast, a banquet, whatever you want to call it. And some people came in and then the doors were closed.
Yep.
And then others came in and asked, Lord, let us in, let us in. And He told them, I never knew You.
Yeah.
It was too yeah. light for them to come into the banquet.
Yep, that is, the best response is to hear quickly and the first time. But let's bless God that He is long-suffering. Jesus did say, you can stay hard too long. And it's a dangerous place to be. Look at what Jeremiah, this is what the Lord was saying to His prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. This is the Lord speaking to His prophet. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them, and they have no delight in it.
That's
describing people that have become pretty hard. That's a dangerous place to be. Because God is saying, how am I supposed to reach them? What can I say to them? They don't want to hear. Let's don't get in that condition.
There is a limit to the patience of God.
There is. And we're grateful it's a long limit. Because He is long suffering.
No, there is a limit.
I know,
brother.
I know. But Peter said we are to regard the long suffering of God to be salvation.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, bro.
I just want to give praise to Brother Eli. A lot of folks don't know this. But when you hold your hands up, okay. There's an old joke I heard about a child. Right?
Okay.
It said, what is a bank robber and God?
In common? He asked you to hold your hands.
There's a surrender.
Yeah.
Then you have to put your hands up and surrender.
Yeah.
He said you have to let Him do His work on His people. And as that, can you kill something? Can you put your hands up and surrender?
Yeah.
I was going to kill it. because I look around and surrender. You let myself go.
Yeah.
God.
There's another common response at holding up your hands. And Jesus said, except you come like little children. And what do little children want when he's standing at the feet of daddy? I mean, it's like they're saying, pick me up and carry me. And I mean, it is a beautiful thing when our hearts are that way. And so if we know, listen, if by God's grace and mercy, we're experiencing some softness and some desire. And we know people that are in a condition where they don't hear and they don't even seem to care. They're just so dull. You know, like I asked, is there anything we can do? Yes. We can intercede for them. We can pray. And we can act. Now, we're not asking God to grab them by the collar and drag them into his presence, okay? But we can't ask him to draw them, right? We can ask him to continue to deal with them, Lord. Continue to work with them. Continue to speak to them. Because the Lord himself said in Ezekiel 22, I look for someone to stand in the gap and intercede so that I would not have to destroy the land. And he said, I didn't find anybody. So let's be willing to intercede for people. And this is just a little, this is our last slide. We're almost time for our Bible study to close tonight. But this needs to be part of our intercession. We can confess their hardness. Hardness is a sin, as you pointed out, Brother Rudy. But we can confess their sin. We can acknowledge, isn't that what Jesus did? Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Stephen, when he was being stoned, he said, Father, lay not this sin at their charge. We can acknowledging it's sin, but just asking him to continue to, thanking him that he's so merciful. Thanking him that he doesn't delight in destroying anybody. Thanking him that he would rather them turn. Thanking him that he is willing to be patient and wait for them. It's a beautiful relationship you have. Because sometimes when I'm praying for someone who's not doing well, that's one of the things I can do is I can thank God that he is patient. Yeah, Dave?
I was just thinking, we talked about this once before, but one of the greatest lessons in this, you know, if we're struggling with someone, you know, that we're feeling an annoyance, like, why aren't they, you know, and getting angry, we got to check ourselves because, you know, what happened to Moses? He struck the rock. He was angry.
Right.
People.
He got frustrated.
He was hard-hearted. He normally did an okay job, and that was the one thing that kept him out of the promised land.
Yep.
So he got angry with them because of their stubbornness, right. And instead of doing what God told him to do, he struck the rock, which was representative of Christ.
Yeah. It's interesting. When the Lord reproved Moses for striking the rock instead of speaking to it, he told Moses, you did not sanctify my name as holy before the people. In other words, look, God does have wrath, and we need to tremble at his wrath. But for us, we are so grateful that what we know is this, God will show his wrath someday, but his desire is repentance. What he delights to do is show mercy. He will have to cleanse his creation. He is going to release his wrath someday. But he holds it back because he wants people to come to know him. And that's the basis of our appeal, is that we're asking God to penetrate people's hardness and grant them an opportunity for repentance. And it's an appeal we can make for ourselves when we become hard and for other people in our lives. And as always in any study, the Word of God is so rich, we can't cover every detail. It's impossible. But, you know, for tonight, one of the things that we're trying to stay focused on all through the last several months is we need to learn to live in communion with the Holy Spirit and sensitivity to hearing Him. and being led. Sensitivity is a key. He longs to reveal himself. If we're just sensitive, if we're broken, and if we're dependent upon him, and if we're asking, he will. It's not like we have to beg him, like he's somehow hesitant and he doesn't really want to, but that's a wrong picture. He longs for us to know him. Let's just not get hard and insensitive to that, so we can enjoy his presence the way he wants us to. Any last questions or thoughts before we close it? We always try to close right at 7. Just till the next time, you can always go and spend some more time in the scripture and thinking about these things yourself. All right. God bless you. For those of you who don't know, we have a Wednesday night offering just for people who, we use this for benevolent. This is not for the meal. Our meals are always free. But just for, we use this to just give people things that they need. Thank you.